And into the fire.
Wasn't what I was expecting. And I understand about trying to prepare about 2 months in advance. I thought I was doing the same thing, Pastor. I was looking at a couple of messages that I had worked up and just wasn't feeling right. And Michelle was getting on the computer because I have some in a folder, three-ring folder. And just wasn't feeling right, so I asked her to pull up a couple that we have on the computer. And she was having trouble with the computer. I'm like, Lord, I just told the pastor I would really like to be part of this on Friday night, but I knew I'd have to work late. Lord, you're not really going to make me start from the beginning, are you? And I kept listening to that song. That song we just sung, I heard it before Christmas, and I fell in love with it. I heard it many a time, so... While things wasn't working while I was studying, I was listening to that song, and I kept going through some different outlines and reading and studying, and it's like God saying, I've already given you a message. But Lord, I don't understand. You know, when we were kids, they had them big crayons that we had to use. Sometimes I need those, if you know what I'm saying. So here I am listening to the song, and he said, the outline is already here. And you know what? The more I listen to the song, I understand about preaching 2017 is coming. If the Lord doesn't come back before then, 2017 is coming. But he had me go back a little bit. And with the outline of that song, I'm like, you know, Lord, that'll preach. And the Lord's like, of course, you know, I'm the one that gave it to you. I understand that'll preach. So if you would, stand with me for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Pastor, I know I'm getting older. I used to not have to wear these things. Verse 17. Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But I like this. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as Brother Jonathan said, it's a humbling experience. Father, I love you and I thank you for the opportunity to bring forth a portion of your word. Father, I just ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, give me the words that you want me. Father, we know that it's about the cross. And may we never forget. Please forgive me of my sins. And Father, remove anything that would hinder from this message being preached the way it should be. Father, I love you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.
Brothers and sisters, as I listen to that song over and over and over again, I can't help but think about it, how true it is. It's all about the cross. Now, we're going to go back just for a minute, or I should say a couple of minutes. You know, Paul wrote Philippians, third chapter, he said, and finally, my brethren, and then most of you know there's a chapter 4. But, but in the beginning, we want to look at just for a moment, just like what the song says, it's not just about the manger. It's not. And the story is great. I mean, think about it. The virgin birth. It's a miracle. Amen. Isaiah prophesied about it in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and the name or his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. This is about 700 years before Christ was born. It was very important. The birth of Christ is very important. Without the birth, there is no crucifixion. Okay? So the birth of Christ is very important. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So it was very important. The manger is very important. The birth of Christ is very important. But it wasn't just about the manger. It wasn't just about the angels. Now, in Luke chapter 2, it talks about the angels, and it talks about the shepherds as they were watching over their flock by night. And it says, and suddenly there with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. But if you go back, and that's in Luke chapter 2, verse 13. But if you go back to verse 9, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared, and the light that shone right about him. Now, you've got to imagine, this isn't 2016 where every street corner there's a light. This is out in the dark. For those of us that were raised out in the country, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's no street lights out there. So they're sitting there trying to watch over their flock, and all of a sudden an angel appears. God knew what he was doing. It probably scared him half to death if he put all them angels all at one time, but he sent one at first. And then the heavenly host appeared. But it's not just about the angels. The Bible talks about it in, lost my place there, Brother Jonathan. There we go. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, it says that when we entertain strangers, we need to be careful. We may be entertaining angels unaware. They were afraid, but then when God calmed them down and explained what was going on, they knew the Son was born. Now, it wasn't just about the angels. It wasn't just about the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2 also, talking about the shepherds, it says in verse 15, and it came to pass that as the angels were gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Brothers and sisters, we're coming up on 2017. We don't need to wait about preaching the gospel. We don't need to wait about teaching the gospel. Notice what the shepherds did. They talked amongst themselves. They didn't say, okay, I'm too tired. The angels are gone now. I'm going to take my nap and maybe we'll go in the morning. No, they said, let's go now. Verse 16, it says, and they came with haste. They didn't take their time. They didn't say, okay, let's just go now. It says that they came with haste. But it wasn't just about the manger. It wasn't just about the angels. It wasn't just about the shepherd. You know, there was a shining star that was there. Now, the song talked about the shining star. The Bible talks about the shining star, and that it came out from the east. Now, when I was little, my father took me out in the Gulf of Mexico to go fishing at night. And it was a beautiful night. I mean, there wasn't a cloud in the sky, and it wound up being a meteor shower. I'm about a 6-7-year-old kid, and I'm having a grand old time sitting on that boat, looking up at the stars and watching the meteors. About 15, 20 years ago, Halley's Comet came around, for those that remember that. Now, I don't know if y'all got a chance to see it around here, if it seemed up close, but I was living in Mississippi at the time. And let me tell you something, to see that, it was awesome to see it as close as it was. It was so bright, you can even see it during the daytime. It hung around, going around the earth, or however it was going, that you can see it during the daytime, and after a couple of days, you can see it going away. But I enjoyed that when I was a child, seeing the meteor showers. I really enjoyed that as an adult to see Halley's Comet. But the wise men to have that star that they can follow, it wasn't just about the star. It wasn't just about the wise men. Now, they came a long ways. Around the Persia area, there was about 1,000 miles somewhat around there before from where they came from to Bethlehem. And to travel that distance, by the time they got there, Jesus was about 1 or 2 years old. It took them about 2 years once they saw the star to travel the distance. As Brother Tim was talking about, the desire to go. They knew that the Messiah was coming, the desire to go and see him. They really wanted to go see him. But as much as time as they put in and as much desire as they had to go there, it wasn't all just about the wise men. It's great. It really wasn't. But as much as it is, the song also talked about how that it wasn't just about the good things that I've done. I mean, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I don't know how many times I read that, Pastor. How many times I looked at it and studied about it before that word the kicked out where I really saw that. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nothing that we can do is good enough to get to heaven. Nothing that we can do. We can say we're better than this person or better than that person, but nothing good enough is there that we can do to get to heaven. It's not about the treasures. It's not about the trophies that have won. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus says, "Lay not yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and dust thus corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt." Right. Nothing we can save here. Anything that we can do to gain any kind of treasures, any kind of medals, any kind of trophies, it's just going to rot and go away. Right. It's not just about the righteousness within. Isaiah, once again, Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, "But we are all as unclean thing, that and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." All these things that I just mentioned, although they were great, but it wasn't about that. Let's start looking at some of the things that it is about. Number one, it's about that precious blood. Jesus Christ, yes, he was born. He was raised, and he lived about 33 years before he was crucified, but he shed that precious blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, "But the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." Amen. Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the pressure of the crucifixion he knew was about to take place. He sweated great drops of blood, according to the scriptures. That blood is precious. That blood is what saved me. Amen. See, I owed a debt that I could not pay. And Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. So you see, it's all those, the Christmas story is wonderful and great, but my friends, it is about the precious blood. Just like the title of the song and the title of the message. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. I mean, think about it just for a moment. It was nothing for God to do any of these things. I mean, when he created the world, he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And then he separated the light from the darkness, and the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. He spoke it into existence. It was nothing for God to do this. And please don't misunderstand me when I say this. It wasn't anything for him to put his son in the virgin young lady, that Mary, that bore him. All he had to do was speak it. I mean, if he can create the world and just speak it, any of these other things, it was nothing for God. We call it a miracle. And it is for us because we can't do it. But God just spoke it. But what was hard is letting his son to be crucified. That's why I say it's all about the cross. Without the cross, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In John chapter 19, verse 17, it says, "And he, bearing the cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha." Verse 18 says, where they crucified him. They crucified him for me and for you. So it's about the cross. It's also about my sin. Once again, I owed a debt that I could not pay, and he paid a debt that he did not owe. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through" who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's all about also, it's about how Jesus came to be born once so we can be born again. That's one of my favorite parts of that song. He was born once so you and I could be born again. In John chapter 3, when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, he said that, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So he came and was born once so you and I can be born twice. We were born of the physical birth, and those of us that are born again, we're born of the spiritual birth. Right. Brother Jonathan, I understand what you was talking about. Because I remember when I got saved, I can bring you to Poplarville, Mississippi, at Plainview Baptist Church and put you within a 2-foot circle. Where I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I had an old pastor who used to say that when the devil tempts you and tries to tell you you're not saved, let him chase you all the way back to where you were. Amen. Let him chase you. Amen. He said, that way you ain't got to fight so much. Just let him chase you there. My goodness. I love Jesus. I know you do. You wouldn't be here tonight. That's why we're here. We love him because he first loved us, as Brother Jonathan was preaching. We love him because he first loved us. We wasn't even looking for him, if we were honest. We wasn't. Matter of fact, I was running from him. But let me tell you, he caught up with me. Because I remember the night before I got saved, I remember dreaming. And Pastor, I can see it as real now, standing here, walking back and forth. And I remember that dream. Where Matthew, it talks about the wide road. My brothers, when you read that scripture, brothers and sisters, you read that scripture, it talks about the wide road. At the end of that wide road, I was dreaming. But let me tell you, it was real. I saw that lake of fire in that dream. You talking about scary? Woke up sweating and crying? Can I be honest with you? I don't even remember what the pastor was preaching about. I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't. I kept thinking about it. I knew where I was headed. You see, one of the first things you got to realize before you can get saved, you got to realize you're lost. When you realize that you're lost, then you can do something. So I realized where I was going. You see, my Sunday schools taught me like we teach our kids. There is a hell. There is. In 2017, if God prolongs his second coming, there's going to be a lot of people that find it. You see, that narrow road, it's hard to follow. What's the word that I'm looking for? It's hard to stay on, let me put it that way. That narrow road is hard to stay on. And Pastor, just a lot of people think just because we're called to preach that it's easier to stay. Can I be honest with you? I think it's a little harder. The reason why, not lifting myself up. I do not put myself on a pedestal, nor any preacher or pastor. And you know it as good Christians. The closer you are to God, I picked on you before when I've spoke before. I said, the devil must have left y'all alone this week. Y'all must be in good shape because he's been all over me. Yeah, you knew that was wrong. You knew that was wrong because he's been all over you too. If you're a born again child of God and you're striving for perfection, you're striving to teach about the cross, that the cross is the real reason. And people are scared of it. They really are. Why do they try to put us away and put us in a closet somewhere and not teach the gospel? Because they're afraid of something. The Muslims and all of them can pray all they want to. They can do all they want to and do anywhere they want to. And nobody says anything. They leave them alone. But you and I try to stand on the word of God and we're wrong. We're haters. Bible says, hate the sin, not the sinner. You and I that strive to be a child of God, to be a Christian, and understanding that the word Christian means to be Christ-like, doesn't mean that we're perfect. It was a derogatory term in the book of Acts. Oh, you're just an old Christian. My friends, I've been able to try and witness to many people, even at work. I've asked for prayer for 2 or 3 different people that claim to be atheists. And I've had the opportunity, and I thank God your prayers were answered as far as being able to witness to them, because I've had the opportunity to say, you know what? What if you're right? What if you're right that there is no God? 2017, there's going to be a many of them saying the same thing. There is no God. But you know what? If there is no God, I've done you no harm. I've done you no harm. To me, it's made me a better person, but when I die, if there is no God, I'm done. I'm gone. I've done you no harm. But my friend, what my concern is, I know I'm right. Okay? And when you wake up in hell, burning. See, a lot of people think it's just the fire. It's not just the fire. Because my friends, if there's anyone here tonight that does not know Christ, I'm talking to you. If I'm wrong and there is no God, there's no harm, no foul. But there is, and when you are in torment, just like the rich man was and is, okay, you're going to remember this message. You're going to remember all these preachers that came up and is coming up. For eternity, you will not only burn in that hot place called hell, you will remember every opportunity when someone witnessed to you, gave you the plan of salvation, and told you that the cross is the way. Jesus Christ died, he shed his precious blood, and he rose again on the third day for you. 9 out of 10 people that I've had the opportunity to witness to, I always bring up John 3:16. And when I get a chance to witness to them, I remind them to take that word world out and put your name in place. Because you see, Jesus died for Rolando. Okay? You need to put yourself in that place. In closing, there was a young lady I was preaching. Brother Jonathan, this is for you too. Talking about messages, making sure that God gives it to you. Because you can open up the scripture and start making outlines and make sermons. Okay? You can do that. But the message comes from God. And I remember getting a phone call, Pastor. I had 2 weeks to prepare. Church called me and asked me to come and preach in view of a call. 2 weeks, no problem, be out there. Lived my life for 2 weeks, done the different things at fish fries and everything else, taking care of the church. And the whole 2 weeks, I'm studying every day, every night, Pastor. No message. Drive up to the church that Sunday morning. No message. Going through Sunday school, no message. I knew, thank God I knew this much. I knew within 2 chapters where I was supposed to be. 2 chapters. There's a lot of verses in those chapters. No message. Like we was thinking on Brother Jonathan about sitting on the front pew right before getting to preach. The last song, the last verse. Boom, God gave him the message. Nothing like cutting it close. But I still had no notes. I didn't have a scratch piece of paper. Had a pen in my pocket, but not even a scratch piece of paper. I'm a scary, but I'm almost done, Pastor, I promise. I preached an hour and a half. Hour and a half. My brother, I did not realize. I think everybody else did, but I didn't realize it. There was a single mother with a set of twins came in and gave the invitation. She come trembling all the way to the altar. I watched her come during the invitation. Now, I know we got a couple of mechanics in here. You know when a vehicle needs a bad tune-up, it shakes. She got up. She says, Brother Mendoza, she says, I need to be saved. I said, we can cover that. She's shaking so hard, she was shaking my hand. I could not hold it still. I said, let's go kneel down over here. And I brought her to John 3:16, and I got her to put her name in that place. I says, do you understand what we're talking about? She said, yes, sir, I do. She said, but I don't know what to say. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray for you. I says, now I'll help you with the words, but can you do this? Make sure you talk to God, not me. Brothers and sisters, when I helped her, after I prayed for her, and when I helped her with her words, and she said, in your name I pray, amen, the trembling stopped. She was shaking so hard when we first knelt down, I was holding her hand, I had my other hand on the back of her shoulder, and we're both shaking. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, she got it. You got saved. You're talking about planning resolutions and everything for 2017. Let's set a goal to see how many souls we can lead to the Lord. Let's set that goal, brothers and sisters. That's a challenge. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Father, what a joy it was to bring forth a portion of your word. Father, I love you and I praise you. And Father, I do pray that we do make that a resolution. to see how many souls we can lead. Not for the numbers, Father. Not for the numbers. But, Father, to see how many we can take away from Satan.